Hi, this is Zach. Welcome to the Coleraine Connection.
The official
behind-the-scenes
inside scoop
down Gilead Lane
Funcast.
And now, your hosts, Lori Twitchell and Steve O'Dell.
I shaved my beard.
You did?
Yeah, you didn't even know I had a beard.
No, because I'm in Texas.
Right.
You're in Michigan.
And I intentionally allowed no photos to be taken of it. But I used to have this little ritual that I used to do. Seems like in the early days of Gilead, we were always just under the gun, you know, to get the shows in time. And I mean, that's kind of always been the case, but I've gotten a little more of a system where it's not quite as stressful and frenzied, and I've got to like pull overnighters and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
But in those early days, I would do this. Ritual is the only word I can think of for it, where I would say to myself, I am not going to shave until this show is done. And it would like give me motivation, you know?
Right.
And everybody kind of like could see just by looking at me where things were at in post. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so anyway, we came into, you know, the last set of shows, you know, as far as coming in, you know, like starting the recording session, already kind of, you know, running behind.
Right.
And so I said, you know what, for the last, you know, for my last hurrah, I'm gonna, you know, bring back the old ritual. And so the last time I shaved was, you know, the morning of the beginning of the recording session. When we were down in Chicago and we had to record those actors down there,
right.
That was the last time I shaved. And it's weird. I noticed this morning when I was journaling exactly a month ago today. But
wow.
Anyway, I did not expect the last set of shows to take a full month from session to, you know, actually sending them out the door. Especially given that, you know, 12-12 airs this weekend.
Yeah.
So yesterday I finally put a bow on it. And I have my face back. It feels so good.
That's good. What does your wife say about this ritual?
Just things like, wow, you've got a lot more gray on your chin than you used to.
Which is true.
I had these little strips of gray right there on my chin.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, everybody. I'm Steve,
and
that's Lori.
And I'm Lori.
Hi. Welcome to the Coleraine Connection. Just kind of reminiscing a little bit here.
We are. We're having a good time this morning.
Steve, yeah.
I've been working on technical stuff, but it's been a good day.
Yes, it is Tuesday the 10th of November. And this past weekend, we heard episode 1211, Saving Messages. So we're here to talk about that episode today and whatever else we feel like talking about. We've got kind of an announcement that we'll be making at the end of today's podcast. So make sure you stick with us.
Yes. Through the whole podcast. You're going to have to
Lori's
be stuck
stunned.
With us.
She's like, announcement? What? What's this? No,
Lori knows what the announcement is. In fact, I'm going to beg Steve to be able to allow me to actually make the announcement because you know, I'm that teasy, cheesy kind of person. I just am surprised that he announced that there was going to be an announcement.
Yes. Well, I'm...
How very un-Steve-o'd of you.
I'm in a rare mood today.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of ground to cover. We've heard some reviews. We've read some reviews. And we've actually got another listener haiku coming
up. Oh, I love those.
Today. Yes.
I do.
So lots to do. Let's jump into our discussion of saving messages.
As I said on my blog post, 1211 already? Doesn't seem possible that we're already at this point where we're discussing this.
It's crazy.
But here we are, saving messages. And, you know, this has been what listeners are calling a power-packed season.
True.
We have a lot of stuff happening in every episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was kind of a big one.
It was. You know what I liked about it, Lori?
That I wrote it?
Of course. A couple things. I liked how we planted the seeds of Tiffany's regret way back, you know, like before Tom died.
Yes.
You know,
and we had that planned.
Yeah. And we bring it back here in this episode. And then just the fact that we hear Tom's voice again, I thought was really cool.
It was very, very nice to hear Tom's voice again. And yes, when we were planning these sessions, when we were brainstorming these, we did. We planted and said, okay, let's not resolve that yet. And yeah. I begged, I want to resolve it later, please. And did it did it really actually get resolved?
Well, that's what I was going to say. It was resolved in an unresolved way.
Yes, in a very unsatisfying manner for some people, and some people found it very satisfying. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, should I go ahead and head to the blog?
Let's check it out.
Okay, the blog, just in case you all don't know yet, funcast.gileadlane.org.
Yes.
That is where you can find the blog. And every week I've been putting up those threads that you can come in and make your comments about the episodes. And a lot of people commented on this episode.
Yeah.
They did. Brendan, first of all, wasn't quite sure what was going to happen this episode with a name like Saving Messages. One can only imagine. Everybody made an assumption based off that title.
Yes.
And I think you and I planned that when we came up with the title, didn't we?
That it kind of has double meaning for
it
sure.
It does, but it didn't really take you where you thought it was going to take you. And Katie Lynn loved this episode. She wants to know if we can add 20 more episodes to this season. Which I think that would make for another season and a half, actually.
Yeah, at least, yes.
But this episode received 9, and I'm not even going to try and count all those 9s,
right.
Billion stars.
Wow.
She said she almost cried when Maya was talking about her dad not being able to walk her down the aisle.
Right.
And she wants to go listen to it again. And she also throws in there that she loves the podcast.
Sweet.
So thank you, Katie.
Yeah, Katie Lynn, I think that was a scene from 1210. But we'll still take the compliment.
Yes, we will. Yeah. Because this was a big one. And, you know, the whole thing, this was a really big episode. There were some technical issues over the weekend. We need to say that, but his kids is working now, and I believe the MP3 is out there because there were some questions about that.
Yeah. It was there. I'm not sure why it wasn't working, but I talked to Janello about it yesterday, and everything's cool. Yeah.
I don't know why that word just popped into my head, but I felt like maybe it's the caffeine just now kicking in. Anyway, Renslow. As we know, Renslow likes to review while listening.
Right.
But Renslow said, I liked this episode a lot. I was so glad to hear from the Morrisons again, but we still fit the Richters in. And Renslow said it was really cool what Maya said to Tiffany about loving her. And we get to see more of Tiffany's character again. Because for a while there, Tiffany was just kind of whining at everybody. And, you know, I think that teenage girls kind of go through that.
Uh-huh.
You know, they whine a lot every now and then. And and so Tiffany was back to this, and he was pretty amazed at the ending and wants to know what we're going to do in 1212 to fill all of this out. So, that's a big one. And we do have a little bit more on that later. But Dave, I have to read Dave's review.
Oh, okay.
I can't let Dave's review pass. We all know who
the
Dave
whole
is.
Thing?
Well, maybe not the whole thing, but I'm very, very, very pleased with Dave's review. We all know Dave is a tough critic, and we love Dave, and he's got such great reviews. This time, he said, though Saving Messages might not be the most action-packed show of season 12, on first listen, I thought it was one of the best shows this season and perhaps even one of the best of the entire series.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty impressive. He said it created a little suspense and allowed for some really touching moments when she was listening to Tom's messages. Mm-hmm. And it also meant that there was a battle between Tom Richter and Randy Brodsky for Tiffany's attention.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, which was definitely intended in there. And,
nice analysis.
Yes. And I always love the way that Dave analyzes things anyway.
Yep.
And with an episode title like Saving Messages and with all the pressure on Tiffany from Caleb, Monica, and Maya, he was wondering if DGL might go the cliched route of making Tiffany have a sudden change of heart. He was glad that there wasn't a happy ending. Tiffany rejected her family and their wisdom about salvation, even when Tom spoke from the grave, in a sense. She deleted what he had to say and disappointed her father yet again. And he said, some people, especially those in a similar situation as Tiffany, will never accept Christ and will always run from him all their life. So he liked that Tiffany, who has always been a person focused on herself, did flee. And he says, I liked it not because it was the right thing to do or because it made me feel happy, but because it was realistic, and it was a realistic depiction of many young people who are not open to a relationship with God.
Yeah.
So I was pretty happy with what Dave had to say. I got 4 out of 5 stars on that one from Dave.
Big kudos to the DGL team for creating an excellent show, which was pretty close to perfect. Held his attention completely. He couldn't think of one thing which he didn't like about it. So, yeah, wow, that's a big credit to the writer there.
Well,
yeah,
and to the director. You know, that was some pretty good acting in there with those messages and, you know, bringing Tom back. And I just thought it was great. And I'm curious, when I read it, the very first thing I thought was, wow, what do I have to do to get a perfect from Dave? So
I wonder. Yeah.
So we have that. We had something from Fat Boy as well, wondering, is Tiffany ever going to come back? That's a big question everybody's asking. I don't know. We've got one episode to figure that out. And that was a Lori Twitchell episode. He was asking if Lori wrote it or if John Fornoff did.
Oh, right.
That was a Lori episode, and I'm very happy with that. Next week's episode, 1212, is a John Fornoff episode.
Yes.
So we can say that. And last week's, I think, was a John Fornoff episode too, right?
That's correct.
So I kind of got sandwiched in the middle there. I'm very happy with that. Courtney also says, I really hate that Randy had to step in just as things started to turn around. My family listens to DGL as soon as possible every week, and Dad says Randy was wrong to say that Tiffany's 18 so she can get what she wants. You must still obey your parents. So we've got that in there, and I mean,
I think Randy is coming from the perspective of legal adult age, you know, no longer being a minor kind of stuff, right?
Yes.
I don't think Randy necessarily practices, you know, the whole Old Testament law thing.
Yeah, and I think we've set we've placed that out there. The Brodskys don't exactly follow biblical mandate in a lot of things. They're very self-focused, and it's all about what makes you feel good and what is okay. And at that point in time, what makes Tiffany feel good is not listening to her parents. So, and Randy, and you know what? That's the way life is. There are going to be people around you who are going to try and tell you what you should and shouldn't do. You need to make the choice who you're going to listen to.
Yep.
So we have
can't do it without Jesus, you know, and having the Holy Spirit in your heart, which Tiffany doesn't. So
Tiffany doesn't. I'm going to kind of go out on a limb here and say Randy and the Brodskys aren't really thinking that direction either, and that they don't have that. So it's just one of those things, and it's fallout. I mean, nobody who listens to this episode can say that they didn't see some of this coming for a long time with Tiffany.
Right.
Tiffany's been headed that direction for a very long time.
Yeah.
So,
More reviews.
Sure. We have Daniel's 5-star review. He says 5 out of 5 stars on this.
Yes.
We're always very happy to see what Daniel has to say. He goes into the details in the episodes and what he loves. First of all, he loved the podcast last week. He said it was really fun having both the brainstorming and the bloopers all in one installment. And he likes hearing from us every week.
Cool.
I like hearing from us every week too. When we aren't podcasting there, you know, now that the season's been written and everything, we don't talk about scripts that often. So when we're not podcasting, Steve and I aren't talking. So we're kind of happy to be having the podcast on a weekly basis now. Daniel again brought up Saving Messages, the title, since it's got a double meaning there. His first thought was someone accepting Christ, but pretty cool that we were able to include, you know, Tiffany and, you know, saving those messages. And he liked the scenes with John and Mary. He found that interesting that they're still investigating Tom's death. And we're hearing tones of conversations this season in the episodes that we have not heard before. That's kind of deep. See, that's why I like Daniel's reviews. This included seeing brother and sister relationship of Caleb and Tiffany. And she almost opened up to him. He couldn't believe himself when he heard the sweet, loving, compassionate words that were flowing out of Monica's heart. because now she's a Christian.
Right.
And the scene where she's trying to explain some of that stuff to Tiffany and God's will was very moving. So, you know, that's the transformation that happens in people. When you let go of yourself and you let God take over, you're a different person. So,
and when you don't, on the other hand,
you can get even harder.
Exactly.
Like the Pharaoh hardened his heart again and again.
And so did Tiffany.
Yes.
So it seems, yes.
Yes. And it runs in contrast. He mentions the Brodsky family and he says, you know, and I'm putting the contrast part in here. Mrs. Brodsky seems like such a great mom and how she's so loving and she bakes cinnamon rolls and she does all these things. But yet it's all coated with that piece of heaven theology.
Yep.
So it's kind of ew.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got Daniel in there. Daniel says 5 stars, Lori. He mentions next week's episode. Good night and good bless. Sounds very final.
Yeah,
it is that 12-12 episode. Sorry. And we also heard from Anna, who says it seems like there's so much to wrap up in the next episode. There is a lot, but we are skilled.
There is.
We are skilled storytellers here at Dangleian Lane, so you've just got to trust us.
Yeah.
And Anna says, you know, if Tiffany's plane crashes, she can't become a Christian.
Ooh.
That's
true.
That's an interesting point. And Austin said, I loved the double meaning for the title, and I yelled no when Tiffany left. I'm not sure if she'll ever become saved. There's just not enough time in the season. Wah! I just put my own spin on the wah there. So.
Yeah. Or it could be wah, like he's crying. Who knows?
Could be. You never know. But that's a brief wrap of the blog. There's so much more there that I did not go over because we just don't have the time. This is why we split it up into an episode at a time, because there's so much happening. Check out go ahead.
And if you want to review a show, you always can do that at the blog. Or you could read people's reviews. Or you could listen to the podcast and read along with us. Or whatever you want to do, but the place to go is funcast.gileadlane.org. You can email us, which we'll be opening the mailbag here very shortly, at ccfuncast@gileadlane.org, or you can call our toll-free comment line, toll-free to folks living in the U.S., at 877-937-5397.
Awesome. Do kids even know what a mailbag is?
Well... people know what a bag is. People know what mail is. So, you know, figure it out.
Okay.
Oopsie do, now stomp your shoe. Here we go with the mail haiku.
And so with that, we have another haiku that was submitted. Austin sent us another haiku, and here it is.
Tiffany Richter, now gone from Gilead Lane. Can things get more worse?
Nicely done. That was good. And I think I'm pretty sure I counted 17 syllables. So great job.
Fantastic.
Okay, so we just have a few emails this week. I think most of the communication came in the form of blog, but that's okay. Esther wanted to know, now this is a question that we have fielded before, but you know we're always getting new listeners kind of coming in and asking, so I will address it again. Is Down Gilead Lane free on iTunes? Not presently. Right now, this podcast is free on iTunes, and you can stream episodes of Down Gilead Lane, you know, the current and the previous week's episodes for free at our website, gileadlane.org. And of course, you know, you can find it on your local radio station and listen to it free that way. Or you can purchase a retail version of the show, which is much higher audio quality, and it is the full uncut version, which I will say there have been a lot of long episodes this season. I can only think of two off the top of my head that actually came in at the broadcast time. Every other one was long. So it's worth it. It's worth it to get the director's cut, especially, I will just say, here toward the end of the season. You know how people were just commenting on how we've got a lot to pack in to the last episode?
We weren't able to pack it all in.
Yeah. So, yeah, my status on Facebook the other day when I finished the broadcast edit of 1212, I just wrote, my recommendation would be to get the retail version because there's a lot that's missing. I mean, you can still, you know, follow the story. It's not like there will be huge gaps. Or
no,
whatever.
We keep all the storylines as intact as we can, but there's just extra stuff. Stuff that we when John or myself wrote it, we hoped that you'd be able to hear. So go buy the retail version so you can hear.
Yep. Okay, and we heard from Courtney again, and she confirms, yes, I am from Minnesota. And so she's writing to Stephen Laurie, but also John Fornoff. And she just says, the suspense has now lifted off of me knowing Monica is a Christian. Kind of reminds me of Paul in the Bible being an anti-Christian turning to a Christian. Wonderful story. And then she says, I just have one tiny question, though. How far in advance do you record the episodes before they air? That's a good question. So like I was just saying, it was a month ago from today that we went into the studio, and that session took place over the course of about 5 days or so. Mm-hmm. I just got those shows out the door yesterday. So that was a month in advance, and that is on the short end of things. Usually we like to be...
That is on the Steve growing a beard end of things.
Yeah, right. That was like, you know, I'm pretty sure originally way back in the spring when I was kind of like mapping out the schedule for this season, I'm pretty sure I originally scheduled those shows to be recorded in August, and it wasn't until like a week into October that we actually made it. So yeah, there's always just things that come up that you just can't foresee, you can't plan for. And I think I'm pretty sure every single season of Down Gilead Lane, God has forced me to depend on him, which is good.
Yeah,
which is good, because you're if learning. I was depending on me to get these shows done, it's kind of like Monica saying, I can't trust me anymore. Mm-hmm. I've never been able to trust me. So that's a good thing.
Nice.
But that's where God wants us, you know, to be desperate for him, to need him. It's kind of that idea. I've been reading a lot lately on the idea of jars of clay.
Yes.
We've got this treasure in these very plain, ordinary, not special, even broken sometimes, you know, vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And that's us. That's us. The treasure is the gospel. The treasure is God's message. So he is glorified when we are revealed to be weak. It's one of the cool mysteries of God.
It is. I have a bracelet that has a cracked pot on it.
Uh-huh.
It's awesome. It's this beautiful vase, and it's just cracked, like, right down the middle has a big gaping hole in it.
Yeah.
And I bought that bracelet after a women's conference where Diana Hagee did a presentation where she brought out a pot that was not cracked and a pot that was cracked, and then she turned out the lights and put a candle inside the cracked pot. And, I mean, I'm guessing you can all figure out where that goes. So when you are cracked... Or when you are a cracked pot, people look at me very strangely when I tell them that I'm proud to be a cracked pot.
Yeah.
but the light can shine through. God can work with broken vessels.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yep. And something I heard recently was that, you know, in the time that those words were written, you know, those jars of clay were just ordinary. You know, that's what people just put their regular everyday stuff in.
Yes.
That's not where people put their
stuff.
Right. It's not where they put their, you know, jewelry and their, you know, treasures and that kind of stuff. So there's this, like, irony. It's kind of like if we were to try to make it a modern, example, it'd be like take one of those, you know, disposable, you know, Glad containers that you put a sandwich in that you take to school with you, you know, and put $1 million in it, you know, or put like a huge diamond or, you know, something that you wouldn't expect to go in that container. That's kind of what it's like. Okay. Well, thank you, Courtney, for that email. Sorry we talked
about
tangents. The
email got us going into a great topic. It was a good topic.
Wheels turning. You know, that would have been a great episode of Gilead. Oh, well. Brendan from North Little Rock emailed, and he also sent us an audio review. And we probably should have played his review back when we were on the blog reviews. But you know what? He sent it in an email. So I'm going to read what he wrote, and then I'm going to play what he said.
It's in the mailbag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had an Arkansas station ask about airing? And I'm pretty sure he's talking about the daily. We were talking last time about possibly someday doing a daily release of Gilead.
Every day.
So he wanted to know if we've heard from any stations in his area specifically that want to do that. And the answer is no, I haven't. But who knows? Maybe, Brennan, if you keep bugging your local stations and tell them to get a hold
of
me. Yeah, right. Then maybe I'll be able to answer that differently. But here is Brennan's review of Saving Messages.
Hello, Steve and Lori. This is DGLIO fan from the CBH Message Boards. I wanted to give my thoughts on Saving Messages. I am really enjoying the suspense of the season, but I am starting to think that you have so much stuff that it will be a jam-packed episode to wrap things up next week. The only complaint is that, from where I sit, a lot of the main characters will be away from the last episode, because we've got Tiffany away out of the country, and Brooke is going back to Peru, so it kind of makes me wonder if everybody's going to be back for the last episode. It was nice to hear from Rodney again, and to have the Morrisons back pretty much full force, with the exception of Michael Morrison. It was a great episode, and I can't wait for the conclusion. I hope Tiffany comes back for it, and I give it 5 out of 5 stars. God bless.
Okay.
All right.
Nicely done. And I like the music, how he played the theme music underneath.
That's fantastic. Was very,
he must have a future in radio.
Hey, that's fantastic. We like that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that is all the reviews, all the emails we have. And now we've got a really cool segment. On rare occasions, once in a blue moon, as they say, we will do an interview here on the podcast.
Because we actually have time.
Right. And I thought, you know, with this episode being all about Tiffany, we've never interviewed Melissa, the actress who plays Tiffany, and the listeners really need to get to know her because
she's Tiffany.
She is a great person. So so a little while ago I got together with Melissa Heldman, and this was our little conversation. Okay, thanks. Me and Lori, I'm here now with Melissa Heldman, the actress who plays Tiffany, and we're, of course, discussing Saving Messages, which, of course, a big, big episode for the Tiffany character.
Mm-hmm.
So we just thought we needed to take this opportunity to kind of get to know you, the actress who plays Tiffany, who's very much different from the Tiffany character.
Just a little.
Yeah.
But it's great to be here.
Well, thanks. It's good to have you here, and thank you for working it out with your schedule to
Absolutely.
Come talk to us. So a lot of things that our fans that listen to the podcast want to know about your experience with Gilead. Just, you know, first of all, you do this kind of weird thing called radio drama, you know, which is not exactly radio and, you know, as far as announcing, and it's not exactly drama, like stage acting. Mm-hmm. But what have you done more of, radio or drama?
Actually, drama.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of drama ever since I was little. And I came from a very musical family, but I just tended to lean towards the dramatic.
Uh-huh.
And did a lot of acting just locally here.
Mm-hmm.
But was always intrigued as a child with the radio dramas that I did hear. I mean, I loved how it just absorbed you and just takes you in, and it takes you there, and you get to create everything in your mind.
Yeah.
And that was amazing.
Cool. What was like an early play that you were in, like as a kid?
Early play. I was Charlotte in Charlotte's Web.
Cool.
Yes.
Who was the pig? Did you have an actual live pig?
No. Her name was Molly, and she was amazing. We even made her mom made her this incredible expanding, like, fabric suit.
Huh.
And it was quite something. I didn't even audition for that part. I auditioned for Fern, and I was reading Charlotte for my brother, who was going to be Uncle.
Okay.
And, you know, the big pig. And they kind of looked at each other like, yeah, this is Charlotte.
Oh,
so
cool.
That was
cool.
Very fun. I also did Amy and Little Women. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some other things as well.
Couple classics there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been doing Gilead. Remind me, I hope you know off the top of your head, like, how long have you been playing Tiffany in Gilead?
You know what? I think it's been 9 years.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I wasn't sure when it was that we actually brought Tiffany into the storyline, but it was pretty early. I
think
I know.
It was, yeah, season two.
Yeah.
Season three at the latest, but I think it was.
No, it was two.
I think it was two. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So been doing it a long time. Do you remember how you got the gig? Like, walk us through how you were able to get the part of Tiffany. Do you remember?
I do, actually. I always was a huge fan of Adventures in Odyssey. Mm-hmm. And my dream as a child was to somehow go out there and maybe even just see it or just be a little bit a part of it.
Right.
And as I grew and did more drama, that desire was still there, but it just wasn't really logistically possible and connections and who knows and all of that. But I heard on the radio station locally that there was going to be an audition for a locally produced radio drama. And I was so excited. I remember my mom telling me that she just really felt like this was going to be a fit and somehow this was going to work out. Mm-hmm. And I showed up to auditions and there were so many people there. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh no. And they asked my age, which was, you know, about, you know, early 20s at the time.
Okay.
And so they gave me an adult script. And when I started to do the read, Beth at the time, looked at me and went, and, you know, gave me a child script. And she told me later that she heard me start to speak and wrote Tiffany Richter and underlined it twice.
Yeah.
It just was a fit. And I was so wildly, ecstatically excited just to be a part of something like this. Mm-hmm.
Cool, cool. Okay, so you get the part. We get the recording session date all squared away. You show up at the studio, and you're getting to know this character, Tiffany, that you've been cast as, who's kind of a diva, brat, I don't know how you want to describe. Like, what was that like, kind of getting to know the character and her place in the story? You know, explain that a little bit. What was that like?
Well, it was interesting because I remember, first of all, being incredibly nervous, not having done something like this before. My hands were sweaty and I was cold and everything. And starting to do the lines and feel like, okay, actually, this is kind of nice. If something doesn't go quite right, we get to do it again. That's great.
Right, yeah.
But I remember Beth, who was directing at the time, just kept saying, great, Tiffany, great, great. Okay, a little more Nellie Olson. little more snotty, little more, yeah, just, honey, just pour it on.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, here you go.
Yeah, I remember that too. So I want to make sure we have time to, you know, listen to some studio fun.
Okay.
I've got a little surprise
lined up
for you. But before we do that, think back over, you know, your 9 years of doing Gilead. Maybe it's been more recent. Maybe it's this last, you know, recording session you were in, or maybe something earlier. Any kind of significant, like, moments stand out for you during your time of doing Gilead?
I remember the one where Tiffany's in an airplane, and I had to scream like the airplane was doing these rolls, these, like, barrel rolls in the air. And just screaming my little heart out. And it was a lot of fun, but I tell you what, I did not have much voice left. That's a memorable moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or even having, here's a kind of behind the scenes bit, even having the first time somebody told me, okay, we're gonna get some wild, some things that we want to just kind of feed in. So just kind of do stuff for like a minute and a half. I'm like, oh, okay. Like just noises like, and just having to do that and go looking at you guys like, is that right? there is no right or wrong. It's
right.
Just what you come up with.
Yeah.
But also, I think the episode where Tiffany is sneaking out for the dance.
Mm-hmm.
And her heart gets a little bit broken.
Mm.
And that is, you know, one of the first times where you see Tiffany really vulnerable and, you know, just sobbing her little heart out in earnest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was an episode that really made an impact on me, too.
Mm.
Yeah, it's good. All right. Well, thank you, Melissa, for those memories, and I'm sure our fans out there will just get a kick out of hearing the real you, as opposed to the persona that you have to put on whenever you're on the show. Speaking of breaking character,
yes.
See, that's called a segue. we have some moments from our last recording session where you had some fun with some of the other actors.
Text message?
Yeah. I can hear Steve laughing from here. I'm not even looking at him. Okay. I mean, like Randy says, she just remembered what he...
That's a weird thing to say, Tim. I always thought that guy was weird.
I am on a roll. Okay, are we still rolling? Okay, yeah. Yeah, from Randy. I don't know. If she loved us, she wouldn't do this to us. I mean, like Randy says, love means never having to say you're sorry.
Well, explain it to me then, Tiffany. What does it mean?
It means, never... It means you never do anything you're... Stumbling for real.
Yeah. Tiffany, think about this.
Tiffany. Goodbye. Whoa, that was weird. Sorry. Randy, get me out of here, please. Don't go, Tiffany.
What happened? I can't take it anymore. You're just not going to do that line? Or?
Didn't even see it. I'm so sorry. I'm like, wow, guys, you really, really want me out of here, huh?
See ya. Don't.
I'm sorry, guys.
No.
Don't.
Please.
Stop. Come back.
Wow. Yeah.
So we're good on that, right? Let's call that a scene. Scene 18 now. Oh, we don't need a safety.
Please, don't.
Randy, get me out of here, please. I can't take it.
I can't say anymore.
It's so hard.
I am so closing my eyes. Like, please. I am so sorry.
Oh, don't worry about it.
That was good stuff.
Oh my goodness.
That's my first chance to ever listen to a person's blooper reel with them.
With them.
In real time. Wow, that was
I think
really
I got tears in my eyes. Oh, that's so funny. I remember it all now.
Yeah. Oh man, those two, Bryce and Joyce, that day especially, man, they were just like in rare form.
Oh, so true. So true. And I remember I was concentrating so hard, and so into my character, I couldn't even remember my lines. Oh, goodness.
That was good. Speaking of Bryce, a.k.a., stand-up comedian,
yes.
Caleb Richter, I've got a funny video that I put up on Tangle. That we're going to put on the blog. So I'm just taking this opportunity to say to our listeners, you need to go to the blog and check out Bryce.
Definitely. He is so funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
And, so are you in your way. I mean, like, you got the subtle comedic elements of Tiffany so well. You know what I'm saying?
I think that was so much fun to have that side of her
right.
to be able to bring
that she's
out.
She's not aware of.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
We're the audience is sort of laughing at her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, so we are laughing with you after that. So just want to make that distinction. Thank you again, Melissa, so much for just your years as part of Gilead and being here today to talk to us. It's been, just great working with you. And
oh my goodness, likewise. It truly has been my honor.
Thank you. So I think that's just about it. We're out of time. We got to throw it back to the studio. Hey,
sounds
would you do
good.
That for us? You just throw
yes,
it back?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to throw that back to the studio. And hey, Lori. Have a great day.
Hi. Oh, it's so nice. It's so cool to hear her talk to me. I love writing Tiffany. I've been kind of bummed that I haven't been able to get up there and meet everybody. But that's really cool. Thank you.
Yeah. So that was a fun interview. And now you know... the actress who plays Tiffany, even though she sounds like Tiffany, just in her voice, she isn't like Tiffany in all of the bad ways. So.
No, she's not. She's very nice.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Okay. And, of course, the added value. We don't want to forget, we brainstormed this show at one point, and this is a little bit of what it sounded like.
All right.
I feel like I want to make them more pragmatic. I mean, this is terrible, but, you know, like, we do not want the flame to die out, and we must stay, you know, and show our loyalty and faithfulness, but there's a chance that, you know, a new generation could begin with them, you know, and, I mean,
there's the dad and the mom perspective right there.
Yeah.
There's the dad and the mom. The mom really cares for Tiffany. I want to keep them safe. So the dad pragmatically says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We'll kill two birds with one stone. We will keep them safe. We will get them out of town. And I will talk to Randy about starting a new campus, because we've been discussing this, somewhere out in the West. Doesn't say anything.
Yeah. The way I'm picturing it is we can cut from the Richter's house to the Morrison's house and back and forth. And it's going to be, when we're at the Morrison's, it's mostly going to be stuff with John, but I think we could find room for Hope to walk through the scene and say something, you know, or Michael to, hey, you want to shoot who with your dad? I will after this one phone call, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That might be good.
Oh, man, this has been exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm going to miss this. this is a lot of fun.
Well, who knows what we'll be brainstorming next, you know? The sky's the limit.
Well, that's a good way to look at it.
Once again, a view into the minds of the creators.
There you go.
It's kind of scary. I'm glad you're still listening after you hear those things.
Right, right. Yeah. How about me just trying to jam in all the added value I can get into this podcast? But mostly, it's all about delaying and building the anticipation for the big announcement.
The announcement, yes.
Yes, and I think we have finally arrived at that time.
Please, because, how many times I said, please, 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 let me announce it now.
Okay. Go ahead, Lori.
Okay.
Announce away.
All right. So, you know, next week is 12-12.
Right.
Or this coming weekend is 12-12. But it's not the end. We have a bonus added value. Weren't you just talking about added value? We have a bonus episode for you. We have, for the final season of Down Gilead Lane, added an extra episode, 12-13.
Yes. And do we want to say the title?
Go for it.
All right. Oh, thank you for letting me say the title. And so it goes.
And so it goes.
So you thought good night and God bless sounded like closure. That one.
And so it goes.
And so it goes.
Yeah.
All right. So look for that on the weekend of the 21st. It's my dad's birthday and my son's birthday. Can you believe it? Same day.
Wow.
And it is the weekend before Thanksgiving. So there you go. We are going to say farewell with 12-13. And there were a few pundits. Is that the right word? Pundits? There were a few speculators who actually said, I wonder if they'll do a extra episode like season one had 13 episodes.
Right.
And that was exactly our thought on that, you know, kind of like how we started it with, you know, this prologue episode, this pilot episode that was Meet the Morrisons. We just thought, let's bookend it and do an epilogue episode here in season 12, the last season. So, yes. So it isn't going to end this weekend. You've got one more week.
It's huge. It's a big one. That one was one that I worked on for a while, and it's one that I've been begging to do for a long time. And I had a lot of fun writing it. Steve didn't have much fun editing it because it was hard. But
yes, it was.
We will talk more about that one.
Yes. And I will just say that, yes, this is the reason why the Season 12 retail set will have 5 discs in it.
5?
Yeah. Yes. So an extra disc in the retail set and an extra week of Gilead for you.
And there you go. So there's the big announcement. And I'm thinking that was a really big announcement.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, enjoy, good night, and God bless this coming weekend. Lord willing, we'll be back here this time next week to talk about it. And then, of course, one more week to go after that. Have a great week. Until then, remember, every day needs a cracked pot. There, it is cracked. See ya.
Bye.
CBH Ministries is proud to present the 12th and final season of Down Gilead Lane.
Well, some good news for everybody.
That's right. 13 milestone episodes marking the end of an era.
Yay!
5 CDs, nearly 6 hours of life-changing drama.
This is so cool!
Pre-order your set now or wait until the release date in December.
What do I look like? A doofusaurus?
Down Gilead Lane Season 12 is a great gift idea. And with the clear gospel message, it's also a great evangelism tool. To pre-order your copy, call toll-free 888-224-2324 or check out the online store at shopcbh.org.